In episode 51 of the Angry Clean Energy Guy, I think I thoroughly debunked the criticism of the Bitcoin miners for alleged excessive energy usage. And I showed that Bitcoin miners using proof-of-work consensus mechanisms, there are many other consensus mechanisms on the blockchain, many using almost no energy at all, but we don't need to worry about them. So Bitcoin miners using something called the proof-of-work consensus mechanism are, in fact, the Pac-Man of the energy system. They go everywhere. Fossil fuel energy, in particular, is inefficient or subsidized or curtailed, and they eat it all up. They are heroes, not villains. And in any case, in the blockchain, and think about the blockchain as the equivalent of the internet for purposes of this example, the Bitcoin miners are an Amazon or a Facebook. So in other words, they are one app among thousands, and soon millions. Yet, hysterical headlines continue to fly around the world, unchecked, and with no thought at all, as far as I can tell, about Bitcoin miners. And of course, they come from non-energy specialists who know nothing about energy and are just, as far as I can tell, looking for clickbait headlines for their own reasons. And here's a recent headline of that type. Quote, panic as Kosovo pulls the plug on its energy-guzzling Bitcoin miners. Speculators rush to sell off their kit as Balkan state announces a crypto clampdown to ease electricity crisis. End of quote. And you can see the buzzwords, energy-guzzling, clampdown, electricity crisis. So they put it all on the shoulders of the Bitcoin miners. But what the article missed, and that was precisely one of the points I was making in episode 51, is that the Bitcoin miners were there because Kosovo has the cheapest energy prices in Europe. Why? 90% of its domestic energy production comes from coal, and the government subsidizes fuel bills. So not only is the economy driven by fossil fuels, but the government makes it worse by subsidizing fuel bills. That's like an open invitation for the Pac-Man of electricity, Bitcoin miners using the proof-of-work consensus mechanism, to turn up and eat the energy up. And the point of the article should have been that Kosovo needs to accelerate migrating away from coal, which is killing its own people, instead of subsidizing their use of coal, which is making the whole thing worse. So that will teach them a lesson. And then more ignorant blah, blah, blah came from a top EU financial regulator, Eric Thedin, the vice chair of the European Securities and Markets Authority. Now he wants, or rather he floated, the idea of a EU-wide ban on Bitcoin mining and sounded the alarm over the rising proportion of renewable energy devoted to crypto mining. You really wonder how and why he is in his job. It's just the same nonsense on a different day. So, Mr. Thedin, can I suggest you take a listen to episode 51, perhaps with a glass of wine, and chill? Everything you say is, in one word, wrong. Thank you. What if I told you instead that the blockchain is possibly one of the most powerful tools for citizen climate action? And in particular, for citizens angry with how little their politicians are doing about climate change. Welcome to episode 57 of the Angry Clean Energy Guy, and a very happy and healthy new year for all of you. And because this is the last episode before Chinese New Year, a very happy year of the tiger as well. I am so happy all of you are here. Thank you. The blockchain is already amazing when it comes to climate action. There are a multitude of blockchain-powered initiatives already out there. I'll give you just a few examples. There is the Yale Open Labs Open Climate platform. There is the World Bank Climate Warehouse. There is the Blockchain for Climate Foundation, the Climate Ledger Initiative, the Climate Chain Coalition, and so on. But what if I told you that properly leveraging the power of the blockchain could drive hundreds of billions more to accelerate the renewable energy revolution, to fight deforestation, to clean up oceans? And what if I told you that the blockchain could do that because we all want to, as opposed to what big companies or governments and politicians are prioritizing? I think many of us agree that climate change is our number one problem and an existential one at that. And more of us agree that the blockchain is one of the most important technological innovations of our time. There is also clear evidence that the majority of citizens worldwide want the future to be green, and they want the ability of companies to use things like net zero and ESG for greenwashing to be curtailed. And they want more transparency. And they want governments to finally act after having done extremely little for 30 years. If you project forward, it's very clear that the next generation will also most likely be Web3 natives. And let me just explain what that means very briefly. The current internet, where we all are, is dominated by very large companies that provide services, but in exchange, take our personal data and then mine it and then sell us services using that personal data. By contrast, Web3 is a decentralized internet where no one can do that, because you'll have apps running on the blockchain so that people who don't know each other can trust each other. And these apps would not be able to monetize your personal data. So if you're not for Web3, I suggest that you perhaps rethink your position. So in my view, the next generation is most likely going to be Web3 natives that are active in both the physical world and the metaverse, and who have identities in both. So their physical identity, so to speak, is going to be green, but they'll also want their digital identity to be green. And so the question is, what if we could mobilize all of them in citizen-driven climate action to actually effect change? That's what we need to be thinking about now. And let me set the stage for why I say that. So let's go back for a moment over grounds that I've covered before. We already know that emissions from fossil fuels, so that's oil, gas, and coal, are the overwhelming cause of climate change. We also know that they account for about 90% of global CO2 emissions. Yet at the same time, according to the International Monetary Fund, those famous climate hippies, we continue to this day to subsidize the production and the burning of this coal, oil, and gas to the extent of $11 million a minute, every minute of every day. So we are continuously making the climate emergency more acute and literally paying big oil to poison us. And that aspect doesn't actually get better when you project through 2025, because the IMF think that these fossil fuel subsidies are expected to go up, not down. And I don't even like that word, subsidies. You know, we need to call these things what they really are. They are a contribution of your cash, your lungs, and the planet to the oil, gas, and coal industries for free. That's what they are. And everyone is at it, because not one of 191 countries that are parties to the 2015 Paris Agreement prices its fuel sufficiently to reflect their true costs. And it's not me saying that. Again, it's the IMF. At the same time, we know that we need to transition to a world fueled by clean energy. And we also know that to do that, we need to invest roughly $1.5 to $2 trillion a year. And finally, we know that we're not investing anywhere near that amount, and that we are probably investing instead $300 billion a year. And so you have a gap of over $1 trillion a year between what we should be doing and what we are doing, while continuing to send $6 trillion a year to subsidize oil, gas, and coal. That's where governments have gotten us to after 30 years of climate talks. And that's where corporate action is at right now as well. And that's where the blockchain comes in, because its power is that it can mobilize millions of citizens worldwide to force change. And what I want to talk about next is how that could take place. Let's take renewable energy first. What if we could have a blockchain-powered platform that connects a significant proportion of solar and wind power projects around the world? So if you have a solar power plant in Vietnam or in Chile or in Kenya or a wind farm in any country, you would connect your power plant to this blockchain-powered platform. You would upload your actual production data of electricity on a live basis to that platform through a technology system which ensures that you're uploading the correct data. The platform would then download that data on the blockchain and stamp it megawatt hour per megawatt hour. So for every physical megawatt hour of electricity that you, the solar power plant in Vietnam, have exported and sold, there is an immutable record on the blockchain that represents that megawatt hour. And what if that platform then, the blockchain-powered platform, then issued a crypto token for each one of these megawatt hours and gave it to the producers of solar and wind power around the world for each megawatt hour that they have verifiably produced and sold? What you would then have created is one instrument, this token, representing the greenness of a megawatt hour of solar or wind power that's been produced somewhere around the world, which can then be purchased by any citizen anywhere around the world that is willing to drive the energy transition faster by sending a wall of money to renewable energy around the world in order to bridge that $1 trillion gap that I talked about earlier in this episode. Obviously, the platform would have multiple mechanisms to prevent double counting and cheating. And obviously, the verification would be blockchain-driven and therefore not requiring any intermediation. In other words, once that example of a solar power project in Vietnam has hooked up to the platform, then it just keeps receiving these tokens as long as it's verifiably producing electricity and selling it. And at that point, people worldwide have the option of buying that token if they can get their hands on it in order to themselves drive the energy transition faster without relying in any way on governments around the world to effect change because of their 30-year record so far of not doing so. And think about that for a moment. What if 1 million people did that, or 10 million people, or 100 million people? I mean, Coinbase alone has 75 million verified users. It's not like we don't have the numbers in the blockchain space. There's possibly over 500 million already in crypto in one way or another, possibly 1 billion. So what if enough of them voted with their wallets, bought these tokens that drive money faster at renewable energy developers so that they can do more of what they do, and therefore themselves affected the energy transition? And the blockchain is a great space to make this happen because it can then add multiple layers on top to decentralize completely decision-making so that the power is at an individual level. And I'll give you a couple of examples of what that means. First, individuals around the world can be incentivized to burn their tokens, so buy them and then effectively make them disappear in order to offset their own use of electricity. So they can be incentivized to do so by receiving an NFT from the platform that represents what they did. And then you can build layers on what they can do with that NFT as well. And I'm not going to bother explaining what an NFT is because if you don't know what it is, please pause this episode, Google it, and familiarize yourself with what it is, because NFTs are possibly one of the most distinctive and powerful trends of this decade, and an incredibly powerful tool for climate action as well. We just have to come up with multiple mechanisms of how, and I'm just painting a couple on this episode. And then what if, on top of these NFTs, these solar and wind projects that I'm talking about around the world, each had a regional or even a country-level governance mechanism, which is completely independent and decentralized? I don't want to throw any lingo at anyone, but in the crypto space, this is called a decentralized autonomous organization. In other words, it's something which doesn't have central leadership. And then, in each region or even country, these decentralized power structures will govern from the bottom up within the community which additional projects might then access the system to benefit from the same type of acceleration. Because that's what these systems would be doing. They would be accelerating climate action. So, in short, this is just one picture of what the blockchain can achieve in the renewable energy space. In other words, the blockchain can power a far faster energy transformation, transcending the sleepwalking of governments at the moment. And you don't have to stop at renewable energy. You could do the same thing, as I said before, to green the oceans or fight back against deforestation. And in just the same way as Amazon started as a really platform to buy books online, pretty soon that platform that I'm talking about becomes an incredibly powerful fundraising tool for environmental and climate impacts. Why? Because it's mobilizing millions of people, it's giving them what they want, and it's decentralizing the power to make these decisions across and back to the individuals, while giving them the choice of where to accelerate climate action and how to do so. Now, none of this may happen, but that is what the blockchain and Web3 can achieve. And that's why it's particularly annoying to continue to see headlines that are red herrings about the energy use of this or that without any research whatsoever behind them, and then politicians getting on the same bandwagon spouting nonsense. But with this type of platform, what we would have achieved on the blockchain is complete transparency, publicly available information on public dashboards so that anybody can cross-reference anything that they want, a total auditability trail so that anyone can verify the credibility of the projects that they are backing, zero double counting, zero cheating, gaming add-ons, if people want them on a decentralized decision-making basis, and potentially a very significant acceleration of climate action. On the NFT side of things, the green certificates, or digitized green certificates, if you will, that people would receive if they burned their tokens, you could have an entire global artist community that is contributing to match the NFT design, for example, to where the underlying electrons come from the project that people would have selected. I mean, the possibilities are endless, but the most important thing, the fundamental basis on which all of this rests, is that it's a structure for actions that make a difference, where you aggregate the power of a multitude of individuals to effect change without taking any decision-making authority away from them. So, where are we in this conversation? I tried to paint a picture of what the blockchain, Web3, and decentralized autonomous organizations can do, because they have the enormously valuable power of mobilizing millions of people to directly affect change. Then I tried to show one example of how that change can be effected in the specific area of climate action. Now, I would encourage any one of you to write to me directly via my website, theangrycleanenergyguy.com, if you wanted more clarity, perhaps, on what I described, because I realize that these concepts are not only new, they can also appear complex at first glance. And that's why I avoided in this episode to use crypto-native language, which frankly is almost developing to be a separate language as far as I can tell. And I elected instead to use English. Sometimes that helps clear up some of the confusion, but sometimes it doesn't, and I'm unsure in which position a listener is at the moment, which is why I'd particularly encourage you to come to me with any questions that you have via my website, theangrycleanenergyguy.com. I would also encourage you to participate yourselves in that space. Anyone can design an app or a business or a token or a way to leverage the power of the blockchain, of Web3, of decentralized decision making for various applications that will make us all, at the end of the day, more fulfilled and more productive while giving us back agency. And that's critically important. Giving us back a sense of agency, a feeling of control over our actions and their consequences. That is something that's underpinning the entire construct of the blockchain. Agency is the power we have to think for ourselves and to act in ways that shape our experiences and our life trajectories. So let's find ways to reclaim our power to take climate action directly. And in closing, I would just say, maybe I painted completely the wrong picture, but there are incredibly talented people out there, and I'm very confident that some, perhaps many, will end up building the right platform and then acting on it to accelerate climate action worldwide. Thank you so much for listening to this episode 57 of The Angry Clean Energy Guy with me, Asad Razouk, and have a great couple of weeks.